Grace, you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's something about our gospel lesson today that often gets it placed in various catalogs of hard sayings of Jesus. At the same time, Jesus would seem to think that our placing it there is ridiculous. At least to me, compared to the people that Jesus was originally speaking to, the reasons we might have trouble are flip-flopped. I don't think I do this often, but it's worth bringing up a couple of theological words. The first of which is the proper work of God, and its pair is the alien work of God. The proper work of God can be defined by what we read and heard last week, God's steadfast love towards his creation. Consider the ravens. You are worth much more than these. It's the proper work of God, the work that he wants to do to help save, comfort, and defend his people. It's the proper word of God that speaks to us of the gospel. And the theologians use proper because this work and that word are part of the very nature of God, who describes himself as love. But that proper work also spawns something of a shadow, the alien work of God. God's creatures are not robots. We're not just carrying out our programming, however complex that might be. We all have agency. And those are just ways to saying that we can say no. The alien work of God is that work that he does which is not in his nature. When we say no to his salvation, when we refuse to hear his word. So, when Jesus says, I came to cast fire on the earth, it's not really that he's just talking about that alien work alone. What he's talking about is that the word of God is going to go out and be proclaimed to the entire world. And that word of God is the message of the cross and his resurrection. The baptism that he would be baptized with. And the salvation that it accomplishes. Christ took the baptism that we deserved, that alien work of God to forsake his creation. Jesus took that upon himself so that he might send out his servants to proclaim his baptism. As Peter would say, baptism now saves you. As Mark would record, all who believe and are baptized will be saved. But we have the ability to say no. We can remain in our disbelief. We can even deny our baptism. This is the fire that has been cast upon the earth since Jesus gave his commission to his disciples, to go and make disciples, baptizing and teaching. It's rare that the word proclaimed has been met with peace. You think that I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. Because this is the division of the ages. We tend to think of that division as the sheep and the goats happening at the end of time. That's merely a reflection of what is happening right now in time. The word of God is proclaimed, and that division is created. Because the word of God does not go out and return empty. It accomplishes what it goes out for. Whether that's the proper work of God to gather his sheep into his fold, or if that word accomplishes the alien work, to hand those who would not be gathered over to the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is exactly that division that Jesus describes. For from now on, in one house there will be five divided. Three against two and two against three. And those divisions will cut to the closest relationships that we have in this world. Father against son. Mother against daughter. Now, this division is something which is and always has been obvious. Nevertheless, it makes all of us mad. Or maybe mad isn't the right word. It makes all of us uneasy and unwilling to hear it. Now, I think the reasons might have been flip-flopped. Jesus' initial audience, the Jews, were unwilling to hear it because of their expectations of the work of the Messiah. Messiah was to show up with his sword and fire and unleash that alien work of God upon the Gentiles, the family, the people of God. Would not be split because all Israel would be gathered and the Gentiles would be cast out. Jesus coming and doing the signs of the Messiah, but then saying that physical Israel would be split was too much. This is not what God is supposed to do. They knew better. I think we're something of the opposite. If a preacher today talks about that alien work of God, many will not believe it. God is a good guy, after all. He's the ultimate softy, the cosmic warm fuzzy. Because most of us are something of universalists. Any division is just scare tactics. Or it was added later, or it was a misunderstanding, or any of the other ways to dismiss Jesus' relatively common language about destruction. While his original hearers would make that God wasn't destroying the hated Gentiles fast enough, we get mad that God says he will respect our agency, our own choices. And if we choose to reject his proper work, which he carries out through that cross, that he will carry out that alien work. But either way, Jesus seems to be telling us to stop letting our unease at this word get in the way of receiving it. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? If we recognize the time, we should recognize that only call of the time is to proclaim the gospel. What Jesus commissioned us to do is to make disciples, baptizing and teaching. What Jesus has done is poured out his Spirit with power that his word might be heard. He is a God who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And as long as there is breath, it is the day of grace. Right up until the 11th hour, as the parable would say. Now, the patterns of a life are hard to change. Were up to us, we would never change. But the Word of God has its power. This is the same Word that brought the entire cosmos into existence. It's the same Word that called Lazarus out of the tomb. It's the same Word that throughout time has done signs and wonders. And God wishes to do his proper work, to save sinners. And he does this through his word of peace shared by you and me, through that forgiveness of sins, through the proclamation of his Son. The facts of division are not an excuse to stop sharing it. Likewise, the facts of division are not an excuse for we ourselves to turn our backs on Christ. And that's the sad state of things that often happens. That I believe that Jesus' words are aimed at. The divisions created by the proclamation of the gospel will go right at our most precious relationships. Our enemy, the devil, is constantly looking for any fissure that he can worm his way into. The world is constantly offering the people of God what it thinks might be a better deal. You're holding on to Christ that is keeping up this animosity. If you just turn away, we will have peace. Like the court prophets of Jeremiah, to those who despised the word of God, it will be well with you when you give up that word. No disaster will come upon you. But it's that very division that is the sign of the Word of God at work. Did you think it would be easy? Did you think that the way to eternal life would be a garden path? They killed the one we follow. And Jesus bids us pick up our own crosses. Calls it the narrow way. But it is the way to life. It's the way to that proper work of God. That work that helps, saves, comforts, and defends us. And it is the way to the peace on earth. Not this earth. Now, on this earth, we have division. The division of the ages. But that peace is the foundation of the new heavens and the new earth. On that day, all idols shall perish, and Satan's lying cease, and Christ will raise a scepter, decreeing endless peace. Today, his kingdom comes through division by that proclamation. Because we all have to be moved from Satan's kingdom to Christ's. Tomorrow, that alien work will be finished. Amen.